Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Some of you may recall at the same time that Sandy Hook happened, a disturbed person in China took a knife and tried to kill, with a knife, a bunch of children in China. But most of them survived because he didn't have access to a powerful weapon. We maybe can't save everybody, but we could save some. Just as we don't prevent all traffic accidents, but we take steps to try to reduce traffic accidents.
So the sociopath cites communist China as the goal for American gun control. Welcome to the Savage Nation. This is a new low for America. And a new example of the sociopathic behavior of the commander-in-chief, who has a vendetta against all things we hold dear. Does the sociopath in the White House also believe in the First Amendment, as he said of the Second Amendment, but think that a modest background check should be conducted by his government goons before any of us have a license to criticize the government or he himself? I'm not saying that we should eliminate the First Amendment. It's right here on a piece of paper. You have a right to speak. We're just asking for a simple background check on your right to speak. A small step to control the incendiary language out there. That's what they do in China and other dictatorships. They don't criticize the president anytime they feel like it. They don't incite people to anger. We're asking not to take away the First Amendment, but just one small step to civility in the New World Order. This is the Savage Nation. This is no longer a laughing matter. I told you that he's a crazy man. I told you he's a sociopath. I told you he wouldn't stop. I asked you last week, what might the sociopath do in his last year? Well, today you saw the sociopath full-blown. Crocodile tears. Crying, shedding tears. There were no tears when Kate Steinle was gunned down by an illegal alien in San Francisco. No, he didn't have tears for Kate Steinle because it's a sanctuary city created by he and his goons. And it was a gun that was stolen from a federal agent who never went to jail, by the way. No, the great president didn't even call the Kate Steinle family and offer condolences. Obama shed tears today, tears of joy. Tears of joy came out of his eyes as he savored and reveled in the disarmament of American people. He's been waiting for this day. He's been waiting, Mr. Satan, to go around the Constitution. He's been waiting to abuse the executive order power. Now, I've studied executive orders. I told you yesterday this was tried by other presidents, and the best example of executive orders that were overridden by the Supreme Court, the single best example is that of Harry Truman, who tried to take over a steel plant during a strike in order to control the strikers, and went to Supreme Court. Supreme Court said, no, no, you can't do that. You can't make law. Now, Obama knows that. He's a very smart man. He went to Harvard. He went to a day school in Honolulu, courtesy of his wealthy grandparents. There was no mother, you see. She ran off with someone and ditched him. That, of course, left him scarred completely with a lot of internal rage. But we won't go into the psychology of the madman today. We'll talk strictly about the issue at hand, which is the mental illness in the White House that is being inflicted on the rest of us. And I think we've got to play some of the sound bites, and I'm going to tell you where I've gone with this. Very straight up front, I'm a direct guy. I have an article I posted on michaelsavage.com, and I also put it up on Facebook. And it's called How Guns Saved 20,000 Jews from Extermination by the Nazis. And I put it up for one specific reason. I want you to share it with liberals who are afraid of guns. Somehow most liberals fear guns, and I know the reason why. But they should know that during the Holocaust, I'll tell you the story as we go on. You know what the Holocaust was, when 6 million Jews were exterminated by a fascist government. And by the way, there were 8 to 9 million non-Jews exterminated by a fascist government called Nazi Germany. Non-Jews. So about 15 million people were exterminated by the Nazis, including the Jews, and all those who opposed Hitler. But the point is not about Hitler. The point is that guns were used by Jews who fled into the woods of Poland, actually Belarus. They fled into the woods. I'm going to tell you about them. The most famous group that I know of is the Bielski Partisan Group, the most significant Jewish resistant effort against Nazi Germany during World War II. We hear all the time that the Jews didn't fight back. That's a myth. That's a myth, a total myth. They did fight back. See, after the Germans slaughtered these guys' parents, they were simple men, by the way. The Bielskis were not rich men. They were not elitists. They were simple men. They were local guys living in a village. And after the Germans slaughtered their parents and two brothers in the Novogrodek ghetto in December of 1941, three surviving brothers of the Bielski family, the names wouldn't mean anything to us, they're great heroes, Tuvia, Asel, and Zus, established a partisan group. They fled into the woods. They fled into the woods to save their own lives and those of their immediate family only. And they fled into the Zabielovo and Perelaz forests, where they formed the nucleus of a partisan detachment consisting at first of only 30 family members and friends. But how did they survive in the woods with guns? How did they get their guns? There were no guns allowed in Russia at that time other than shotguns. They had no guns. And in addition to food, the first thing the Bielski brothers realized they needed were guns. And so they had to either break into farmhouses and steal them or lay in wait for the Nazis and knife them in the neck and steal their guns. That's right. Ordinary men. Ordinary men like you had to kill in order to live. Kill or be killed. Kill or be killed. But it was the guns is the point, you see, Mr. Obama. Guns saved 20,000 Jews from extermination by the Nazis. That's not to mention the millions of others who were saved by guns and bombs from our military and from the Russian military, the British military, the Australian military, the New Zealand military, and all the others who fought this scourge of Hitler. It was guns who saved everyone. It was not hot air. And it was not tears. It was certainly not crocodile tears. But I'm getting off the track. These boys, the Bielskis, were just a Jewish farming family in a village. They knew every tree in the woods. They knew every reed of grass in the swamps, and that's what saved them. Because they were familiar with the geography, the customs, and the people around them, they were able to elude the German authorities and their Belarusian auxiliaries. With the help of non-Jewish Belarusian friends, they were able to acquire guns, guns, guns. And then the Bielski partisans later supplemented these arms with captured German weapons, Soviet weapons, and equipment supplied by, yes, you heard me, Soviet partisans who gave the Jews guns to fight the Nazis. You can read all about this yourself. There was a movie done on this with a great movie called Defiance. It was fabulous. Just fabulous movie. You ought to see it. You must watch it. You must watch the movie with Daniel Craig. It's an incredible movie from 2008 called Defiance. And the point of the movie is that they saved 20,000 Jews, ultimately, from extermination because of guns. So when I hear from a madman like Obama that he believes in the Second Amendment, and he points to a piece of paper, every fiber of my being goes into an alarm mode. Because I saw Hitler do a similar thing when he came back and pointed to a piece of paper. Yeah, and I saw others point to pieces of paper. I've never seen a dictator do something illegal that they claim was illegal. Have you? Have you ever seen a dictator do anything illegal? For example, when Hitler invaded surrounding nations, he didn't say he was invading them to take anything. He didn't. He said this is a perfectly legal move on the part of the German people to recapture territory that had belonged to Germany. We have no intent to harm our friends in Czechoslovakia or in Poland. We're simply taking back what is ours. And I have it on a piece of paper right here. This was our land. It's just like the bullies that I grew up with in my neighborhood. Inevitably, a bully would never strike a smaller kid without first coming up with a pretext for hitting the smaller kid. They would make up a reason in their sociopathic, cowardly minds for attacking the smaller kid. And then they would attack the smaller kid after they stated their big lie. The sociopath in the White House did the same thing today, over and over and over again. One lie after another. Now, let's not go into all the details right now, but I have to play a soundbite for you where, again, he acts like the madman he is, clear as a bell for any doctor to see. Listen to clip number 02.
I believe in the Second Amendment. It's there written on the paper.
The paper.
It guarantees a right to bear arms. No matter how many times people try to twist my words around, I taught constitutional law. I know a little bit about this.
You studied it to destroy it, you pathological liar, you. You studied it to destroy it, you
but
pathological
liar, you.
I also believe
that we can find ways to reduce gun violence consistent with the Second Amendment. I mean, think about it. We all believe in the First Amendment, the guarantee of free speech, but we accept that you can't yell fire in a theater.
Yeah, can't yell fire in a theater, but you can yell fire in the White House. Oh, yeah, you can yell fire in the White House every day. You can set the nation on fire, pitting black against white, gay against straight, old against young, young against old. Yeah, you can set the world afire, pitting Sunni against Shia, laughing all the way to the restaurant with your sorority around you. But again, I have to say, does this sociopath also believe in the First Amendment, but think that a modest background check should be conducted by his government goons before any of us be able to criticize the government or him? And by the way, as we get into this and dig down into the deepness of this executive action by the madman, you will find out that his government goons have the right to declare you mentally unstable and prevent you from owning a gun. Again, this was something that was done in the Soviet Union. I'm not being an alarmist, I'm a realist. It starts with very small steps. Smaller steps, indeed, than you could ever imagine in a nation that is as polarized as this, with the protections that were built in by men fathoms, fathoms beyond this little man, this tiny little man, this evil tiny little man from God knows where. We have a constitution that was fashioned by great men that is being dismembered by this little tiny psychopath, or shall I call him a sociopath, as we did yesterday. Name calling is not going to get us where we need to go. What will get us where we need to go is the law, and nothing but the law. And this little man from God knows where knows that he violated the law. He knows that this is illegal. He knows that a president cannot make law. He knows all of this, and the goons around him mean nothing. Loretta Lynch is a low-grade lawyer from the bowels of the New York court system, handpicked by one of the scummiest people on the planet, that be Al Sharpton, to be our attorney general. She was never qualified for this position, and yet there she sits as though she is a legal expert. Has she ever written the paper that any jurist in the nation would ever quote? No. Another unknown, low-grade, night school lawyer, now the number one cop in America. Remember what the number one cop in America did almost the first day that she was appointed? Remember what she did? She threatened anyone who said anything about Muslims. Do you remember that? The very same Loretta Lynch that said she would prosecute anyone who said anything about Muslims. Do we have that soundbite, Robert, for the next break? That was from a few months ago. That was a huge story. This very same jackal is going to tell me that she has the law on her side when she violated, when wanted to violate the law on the First Amendment. I should believe her on anything with regard to the Second Amendment. Again, I want to go back to the beginning for all of you good liberals out there who are gunophobic. And when I say that, I envision Woody Allen or Larry David. I see totally neurotic individuals afraid of their own shadow who are very wealthy, who hate the very audiences that made them rich, and more especially seem to hate the nations that have given them such incredible, incredible power. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. So the sociopathic, fascistic administration says that they believe in the Second Amendment, but, and the big but is the crowd of the theater and the fire and blah, blah, blah. Now, remember who he's quoting. He's quoting the low-grade night school lawyer, Loretta Lynch, on the Second Amendment, when this very same low-grade night school lawyer, Loretta Lynch, said things about the First Amendment that were identical several months ago, and I'm the only one in radio who remembers anything, I think. Listen to what Loretta Lynch, our attorney general, who was standing beside the sociopath today, had to say about the First Amendment not 2 months ago.
Now, obviously, this is a country that is based on free speech. But when it edges towards violence, when we see the potential for someone lifting that mantle of anti-Muslim rhetoric, or, as we saw after 9/11, violence directed at individuals who may not even be Muslims but may be perceived to be Muslims, and they will suffer just as well, just as much. When we see that, we will take action.
So there she is, the night school lawyer, appointed by Al Sharpton, says she believes in the First Amendment and free speech, but when it edges towards violence, we will take action. Well, same thing you heard today from the night school constitutional lawyer in the White House. Another great genius. He knows something about the Constitution. He knows enough about it to go around it. I know other leftists who studied constitutional law, and they did so only to get around it. Believe me, I know what I'm talking about. So he says today, oh, I believe in the Second Amendment, but we need restrictions on it. Well, we got a lot to say today, ladies and gentlemen. And the 20,000 Jews saved by guns is the greatest evidence I can give you to offer your liberal, psychotic, weakling friends.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
All right, so we learned today that the sociopath in the White House has hundreds of millions of dollars that he just found for background checks for legal gun owners, but the sociopathic snake in the White House did not have any such funding for background checks on Muslims from Syria of military age, mainly males in their 20s. He had no money to do any background checks on the millions of illegal aliens pouring over the border, nor their health status. The millions that he pours into America, he didn't have the funds to stop them or do vetting on them. No money to vet the Syrian Muslim immigrants that he's flooding into America. But now suddenly he has hundreds of millions of dollars on background checks for legal gun owners. And you don't see two and two together. And we're going to talk about mental illness and how he's going to do more to help those from suffering from mental illness. Just as they did in the Soviet Union, they helped people into the mental hospitals. I don't think you know the history of mental illness in the Soviet Union and why people who came out of Russia from the Soviet era distrust psychiatrists. I don't think you understand any of that. And that's because Americans have no sense of history whatsoever. They not only do they not know their own history, nor could they care less about their own history. They know nothing about anyone else's history, which is why they are so vulnerable to manipulation. But we'll get to that in a moment. At this time, we have Congressman Culberson on from Texas, who has a very important message for you about what is going on and what he's going to do to stop the sociopath. He called me minutes before the show, John Culberson of Texas, a friend of mine. I consider him my congressman because I have no representation in California in this one-party state of left-wing fanatics. I have to go to Texas for any kind of representation. John Culberson, Congressman, thank you for being with us. What are you going to do to stop the lunatic?
Well, Michael, it's great to be with you, and I am using the power that the Founding Fathers so wisely entrusted to Congress, the power of the purse, Michael. The Constitution tells us that no money can be drawn from the Treasury except by appropriations, and I'm the chairman of the Appropriations Committee in charge of all the funding for federal law enforcement. I just got that job in January, and I discovered, Michael, if you control 100% of somebody's money, you've got 100% of their attention. So last March, when the Obama administration tried to ban ammunition, and you remember the British first went after the gunpowder and the bullets at Lexington and Concord, that's always the way tyrants start, I got the Obama administration to back off. I made them drop the ban on ammunition by threatening to cut off their money, and I've done the same thing today. Yesterday, I sent the Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, a letter and said, as the chairman of the subcommittee in charge of all of your funding, I expect you to enforce existing law. We will not provide any money to the Department of Justice to, quote, develop or implement any unlawful limitations on the unambiguous Second Amendment rights of Americans to keep and bear arms. So I put a warning shot across.
Have you heard from the esteemed Attorney General, the same woman who said that any First Amendment, any speech that edges towards violence will be criminalized? The very same genius. What did she say to you?
No, I have not heard a peep out of her yet, but let me tell you, they got the message loud and clear. My chief of staff followed up with the folks at Department of Justice that handle their funding, and they understand. They know exactly what I'm talking about because, Michael, this is a power that the founders gave to Congress. It's an ongoing authority that we have year-round. So this doesn't require a bill. I don't have to pass a new law, an amendment. I don't need anybody's permission, Michael.
But Congressman, I trust you, and you know I believe in your work, and I know how pro-American you are, 1,000%, and especially as a Texan. I ask you this question. You know how devious these people are. Isn't she just going to transfer funds from another department to do what she wants?
Michael, they can't get around me. The genius of what the founders did in making the Congress responsible for money that's drawn out of the Treasury is that each one of these agencies, Michael, just like any big company, they're so vast, when they have to move money around, they have to come to me as the subcommittee chairman to get my approval. Guess what?
Come on. Are you serious? You're now Papa Warbucks?
Yes, that's right. And then Loretta Lynch has to get my permission to move money around. That's why I was calling you today. This is good news. I wanted the listeners, all Americans, to know good news for the new year that Congress has the power of the purse, and you're talking to one congressman, and I am going to do whatever it takes to protect our Second Amendment rights. As long as I represent Texas, I'm up here guarding the money, and she's not spending a dime of our hard-earned tax dollars to take away our Second Amendment rights, because she's got to get through me, Michael.
But what about the sanctuary cities funding? What about the flooding of America with illegal aliens? What about bringing in 1 million Syrians? What about that money, Congressman? Can you stop that as well?
Michael, you're talking to the right guy. You got me a little bit ahead of the curve. I'm about to drop that on him in about another 10 days. I've got that lined up. I also figured out a way to put pressure on him to make sure that these sanctuary cities don't receive a dime of federal money unless they follow federal law. Are there any
Congressman, I got to tell you, when your call came at 10 minutes to the hour before the show, I normally don't answer my cell phone before a show, but when I heard your voice, and I remember the visit that you had out here in California with me, our visit to the museum and the embarrassment of being around the liberals in that museum, and you said we're an Indian country, which is very funny. I remember the gift that you gave me, a little tiny gift of a bullet, a round bullet from, where was that? That wonderful little diorama you gave me? Was that not from the Alamo itself?
Far up Texas, Michael.
Yep. Listen, you come from good people. Texas is a great state. Go, Trump, go. Congressman, I want to thank you. Is there any way my listeners who just heard you, first of all, we're going to post this interview on michaelsavage.com, and I'll put it up on Facebook. But, Congressman, how do people, I'm being very blunt, I don't mince words, is there any way they can help you in your efforts financially or otherwise?
Well, Michael, you're very gracious. You know, this is about doing the right thing for the right reasons for America. You're gracious. My office in Washington, of course, I'm calling from my office in Washington, so I can't get into the campaign stuff, but I'm easy to find on the web. Congress we are up for election every 2 years, and it's important that I remember the genius of America is elected officials have no rights, only the duty to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution, and that's why I'm proud to do this job and face re-election. Our election in Texas is March 1st, so it's right around the corner, but Michael...
John Culberson, sure don't forget that name. Spell it, C-U-L-B-E-R-S-O-N. It means freedom for America. Congressman, thanks for thinking of me, and you're welcome on this show anytime that you care to speak directly to millions of Americans who agree with you. Thank you so much for being with us on the Savage Nation. It is now 42 minutes after the hour on the program. You just heard, I believe, a very important call to the show. I hope you understood what the congressman said. And all I can do is I pray to God that the snakes in the White House don't find a way around Congressman Culberson, because it's not about him, it's about the Constitution. And as you well know, the snakes will always go around the law to get their way. That's the way of the left. That's the way of the snake. 855-400-7282 is the Savage Nation. I now want to go back to some of the sound from today, which is the big lie from the biggest liar in the history of the presidency, where he talks about communist China. If you missed the opening, I thought it was a great opening with the music behind it. I guess it went over everyone's head. He cited communist China as an example of good gun laws. He was, you know, it was a subtle thing though. And then he likens the Second Amendment restrictions that he's trying to impose to banning yelling fire in a crowded theater, which of course is a flawed analogy for the reasons I gave you. And then I played you the same attorney general that he quoted when she said a few months ago on free speech that anyone is entitled to the First Amendment because it's on a piece of paper, just like Obama said today with the Second. But if it edges towards violence about Muslims, she'll bring the full force of the federal government against anyone who is anti-Muslim. She was roundly attacked for that, rightly so, because she was infringing on our First Amendment rights. Well, now they're on the Second Amendment. Next, it will be what, the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th? Why don't they just eliminate all of the amendments and do anything that they wish? Well, that's what we're afraid of. And, of course, he then covers it up by saying this is not a plot to take away everybody's guns, and people are only twisting. They're only twisting his words. That's what he said today. And then he lied, of course, in the most important clip of the day. This is the one that truly got my attention. In the following soundbite, which is clip one, hold on, Robert, he said we are the only advanced country on earth that sees this kind of mass violence. Apparently, the blind man in the White House has forgotten Paris. He's forgotten the violence conducted by the Muslims in Paris. Has he also forgotten he's the only world leader who did not go to Paris in solidarity with those slaughtered after the Hebdo massacre by Muslims? Did you remember that embarrassment? Did you remember that? Do you know where his loyalties lie? All I want to know is, where is the prayer rug? Where is the prayer rug, and what are the handprints on the prayer rug? After this is all over, I'd like to see a report on that. How many prayer rugs are there in the Oval Office? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUICO. We also learned today that the vampire in the White House, who I call Count Obamula, who I said drinks the blood of the Constitution one sip at a time. That's why he teared up today, because he had a big drink of the Constitution today, and he felt satisfied, for it's been 2 weeks now since he could take a sip of the Constitution of this size, and it felt good. The tears came to his eyes. He was so sated with the blood of the Constitution today that tears came to his eyes. And we learned today from what he said, that doctors can report some mentally ill patients to the FBI under the new gun control rule. Enables healthcare providers to report the names of mentally ill patients to an FBI firearms background check system. Mentally ill is what? What's a mentally ill person? Can anyone tell me what the limitations are on this rule are? What do you mean by mentally ill? Healthcare providers will now become government moles, your shrinks, your therapists. You're not to trust any of them, though. You cannot go near a psychologist or a psychiatrist or even a doctor and report that you have bipolar disorder. You will lose your gun. Did you know that? I'm giving you a warning. Take it for what it is. If you have bipolar disorder, you are now considered mentally ill, and that gun will be taken away from you. Whether you've been charged with a crime or not, they will start with you. You think I'm making this up? You don't know how governments work. I do. I do this for a living. You don't. Everything starts with very small steps, and it's not about a slippery slope. It is about an out-of-control, insane bureaucracy. Whether you've been charged with a crime or not, if you have bipolar or any other, quote, mental disorder, you now will be banned from owning a gun. The FBI firearms background check system will catch you. And your doctor now will become the snitch, as they were in the Soviet Union. That's what this vampire has done today. You don't know this? I do. You don't know it today, but you'll know it tomorrow. So let's go back to some of the clips where the psychopathic vampire begins with a big lie today in clip 01.
The United States of America is not the only country on earth with violent or dangerous people. We are not inherently more prone to violence. But we are the only advanced country on earth that sees this kind of mass violence erupt with this kind of frequency.
Stop right there.
It doesn't happen.
The vampire has conveniently forgotten, or perhaps he never saw it on his iPhone, the massacre by Muslims in Paris, which was not so long ago. I know. Was he on a vacation? Was he playing a game with one of his rap star friends? There was a violent episode in Paris. Did he miss that one? Conducted by his Muslim friends? Or how about a few years ago in Mumbai when Muslims slaughtered Jews and others in a hotel and left blood all over the lobbies? That was a slaughter that went on in India. Or how about the slaughter that goes on a regular basis in Muslim nations? He's forgotten all about these things? So you're saying, look, Michael, you know, you're making statements here that don't make any sense because he's not talking about that. He's simply trying to control the nuts from getting a gun. That's what you think. You're wrong. He is using the nuts to take your guns. And many of you would agree with you. You see, many of you are liberals who are afraid of guns. I've said this to you many times, but you don't understand it. The reason you oppose guns is you're afraid if you had one, you'd kill yourself or shoot your wife. Many of you are on medication, extremely unstable in your professional life, in your personal life, in your daily life, in your daily routines. You're an unstable personality. You are the people who fear guns the most, and rightly so, you shouldn't even have one. Men like you should not have a gun, because you probably would shoot yourself or someone in your family, God forbid. But you're smart enough not to own a gun. But that doesn't mean that there aren't those of us who are stable enough to own guns. I've owned guns my whole life. I have never picked up a gun in anger, and I do get angry. I have never waved a gun around in anger. I have never threatened anyone with a gun. I have guns strictly for self-defense. And I have felt protected as a result of that. I have felt greatly protected as a result of that. It was one of the things I liked most about moving to California when I did in 1974. I loved the freedom I had to purchase weapons. After coming from a dictatorship of New York City, where you really couldn't own guns. I grew up in a city where guns were highly restricted, and yet there were 50,000 homicides a year anyway. So if you want to start talking about guns and gun laws, I would say, you know, Mr. Obama, we agree there's too much gun violence in America, so why don't you do this? Why don't you send the National Guard into Ferguson and go into the public housing projects and seize the illegal weapons from the gang members? And then send the National Guard, the Maryland National Guard, into all the housing projects in Baltimore and take away all the Kalashnikovs and AR-15s and machine pistols illegally possessed by those individuals who are not legally entitled to have them. And then we'll believe one word that comes out of your vampiric mouth, Mr. Obama. You want gun control? Start with the gangs who are armed to the teeth. The police are afraid to go near the housing projects. Because of you, Obama, the police are outgunned by the goons. So start by seizing the guns from the goons. Use the National Guard in each state to go into the projects.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage.
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation. As I say, it's one small step at a time, both for good and for bad. And today, Count Obamula, the vampire who drinks the blood of the Constitution one sip at a time, literally broke into tears as he was sated with the blood of the Constitution in trying to take away a good portion of the Second Amendment. This is the same sociopath who had his goon from the Attorney General's office say things about the First Amendment that had eyebrows raised across the landscape of this fair land. And that was only a month or 2 months ago when the same Attorney General who today stood beside him said that the First Amendment is there and we're guaranteed free speech. But when free speech, he said, edges towards violence, listen to the words that the snake used, edges towards violence, she will throw the book of the federal government at anyone who edges towards violence with speech about Muslims. Well, she took it back 2 days later because she realized that even America itself had had enough. Even the sports mad, entertainment mad population of this country wanted its First Amendment left alone. Well, today, Count Obamula said the very same things about the Second Amendment. He said, well, I believe in the Second Amendment, but, we all believe in the First Amendment, but, you can't yell fire in a theater. So it sounded reasonable. This is how they do it. I told you that when Hitler invaded various countries around Germany, he never said he was breaking the law, nor did he ever say he wanted to conduct war, nor did he say he did it for any anger, reasons of negativity. He did it strictly to recover what was his. We're going to talk about the mental illness that is being evidenced on a daily basis by this individual, his pattern of grandiosity, an overwhelming need for admiration, a complete lack of empathy towards others. This is a disorder. Narcissistic personality disorder is characterized by a long-standing pattern of grandiosity, an overwhelming need for admiration, and usually a complete lack of empathy toward others. By this definition, President Obama would not be allowed to buy a Daisy BB gun by his own laws. And so what we have to do now is show you something else. Today, I'm going to show you that he isn't not only a narcissistic individual with a strict personality disorder. He today, when he announced his rules today, he referred to himself 76 times. He suggested 76 times that this was about himself. Doctors who have studied this man suggest the president is suffering from narcissistic personality disorder. Yesterday on the Savage Nation, we talked about the fact that he evidences sociopathic behavior. So let's listen now for a portion of the narcissist in action today on the Savage Nation, courtesy of Grabian.
I still remember the first time we met, the time we spent together, the conversation we had, and that changed me. My hope earnestly has been that it would change the country. It wasn't the first time I had to talk to the nation in response to a mass shooting, nor would it be the last. The last time I met with Mark, which made me feel kind of bad, I was there with Gabby when she was still in the hospital, and we didn't think, and that visit right before Memorial, about an hour later, Gabby first opened her eyes. So I told him, and then I think of all the Americans who aren't as fortunate. And as I've said before, but I know the pain that she and her family have endured. Thursday, I'm going to hold a town hall meeting. My goal here, I'm not on the ballot again. I'm not looking to score some points. I think we can disagree. I want to be absolutely clear. I've said this over and over again. There's a ritual about this whole thing that I have to do. I believe in the Second Amendment, no matter how many times people try to twist my words, I talk constitutional law, I know a little bit, I get it. I also believe that we can find ways to reduce gun violence consistent with the Second Amendment. I reject that thinking. Now, I want to be clear, Congress still needs to act. There are actions within my legal authority.
All right, you get the picture. He refers to himself 76 times in a single speech. Now, one of the things that the narcissist in chief today talked about were smart guns. We're going to talk about the presidential memorandum and the Department of Defense, Department of Justice, Department of Homeland Security being mandated to take important steps to promote smart gun technology. Let me explain what this means in a nutshell without getting into the boredom of a gun itself, which I don't intend to do. On the website bearingarms.com, they wrote this paragraph about smart guns. Every totalitarian on earth would love nothing more or less than the ability to render every gun in the nation inert with the press of a computer key, or disabling the guns of selected groups of foes at least. Tyrants could then easily disarm the citizenry or a military or law enforcement unit that rose in opposition to them with the flip of a switch. They write, did I mention that Obama wants to force that sort of technology on the military and federal law enforcement? That's under the smart gun technology that the vampire today expressed interest in. Perhaps the most telling one of his sound bites today was the one I opened the first hour with, and if you missed it, we're going to play it again. He cited Communist China as a role model for American gun control. Robert, please do the production in 22. Right here. A little spread of individual things that takes a little thought to see what we're talking about. So let's be clear here. Am I a Second Amendment absolutist? Yes. Am I a First Amendment absolutist? Yes. Do I live by the First Amendment? Yes. Do I live by the Second Amendment? I don't know. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. I do know that when you have a mad dictatorship emerge, which this has not yet become, it is only an armed citizenry that will prevent them from doing horrible things to the people. Notice the standoff in Oregon. Why do you think the government has not crushed them with armored personnel carriers yet? Because these men are many of them are ex-military up in Oregon. They're loaded for bear. They're armed to the teeth. And they know that if they get into a shootout, they're liable to have a lot of dead federal officers on the ground, which is the last thing this presidency needs right now. It'd be a disaster for Hillary Clinton, which is all they're thinking about. And so then we come back to the primary question, don't we? And the primary question is, Michael, let's be clear. Don't you think that there are too many deaths from guns in America? What would you do to control this epidemic of shootings in America? That's an important question. Well, let's talk about that. If you have an idea on this, or you have ideas on any of the topics I've raised, the phone number is 855-407-282, 855-400-SAVAGE. And we'll take the calls as they come in. Right now, we will start. We will start on the issue of mental illness. Joe on WABC, thanks for joining us. Joe, what's your point?
Yes, Dr. Savage, I'm a 60% disabled Vietnam vet, PTSD. I see a doctor at the VA hospital, and now I'm concerned about going back at all. I own six guns registered. And I go to bed every night with my 9mm next to me for home security. And another point I have is I argue with my girlfriend, who's a liberal, that these gun buyback programs are a joke. The only ones that's thrown their guns back are the law-abiding citizens for money, and the criminals get to keep their guns.
The only thing that controlled violence in New York City was when we had a mayor who let the cops stop and frisk thugs. That reduced gun violence. That reduced gun violence. And the fact of the matter is, this is not common sense gun control. This will enable healthcare providers to become snitches and declare anyone mentally ill to an FBI firearms background check system that will take their guns away. And that means any vet with PTSD will lose his gun. That's what you're afraid of, correct?
I think the other one that's out there, he's the nut. I mean, you know, not to be rude, but this guy's crazy. I never thought our country would see a president like this, I'll tell you right now.
Joe, when you fought in Vietnam, did you ever think that you would be fighting to permit a man like this to be president?
Never, ever, ever. I'm a patriot. I love my country. After 9/11,
when you were fighting in Vietnam, you were fighting against a communist tyranny that eventually won because of the very same forces that have destroyed us from within here, which is the American media and the American left undermined the military then, just as they have undermined America and the Constitution today. The forces of the left, the 1960s are back, only now they're running the country, and they're running it from the top down rather than from the streets up. But when you were fighting in Vietnam, you were fighting a communist regime, and the leader of that communist regime was a man named Ho Chi Minh. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. I was there during the time of his death, and I have the...
Do you remember what the American left, the very same rabble that was in the gutters of America spitting on you when you came back from Vietnam, the very same vermin that are now running America, do you remember what they were chanting in the streets? It was something, hey, hey, ho, ho, about Ho Chi Minh. They loved Ho Chi Minh. Do you remember what Jane Fonda did? Posing with an anti-aircraft gun with the North Vietnamese? Well, let me tell you something. They're now running and ruining America. But Barack Obama, the reason I bring up Ho Chi Minh is that Barack Obama reminds me of Ho Chi Minh, by the way. Kind of tall, somewhat lean, elegant in his speech, articulate in his speech, and a total zealot for his cause. In that regard, we have Ho Chi Minh in the White House in some regard, don't we?
That's correct. That's correct. And when Jane Fonda comes on the TV, I thought, I can't turn it off. And I can't...
Let me ask you this before you go, Joe. Do you ever, in your PTSD, get enraged and pick up that gun and wave it at anyone?
Oh, no.
Have you ever threatened anyone with your gun that no one knows about? Have you waved it at your girlfriend? No.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
So here's what I want to know. When you feel rage coming over you, and you have weapons in your house, why don't you reach for the weapon? What prevents you from reaching for the gun?
I'm saying I wouldn't hurt anyone unless they were coming in, going to harm my kids or myself in my house.
All right, so there you go. Well, now try telling that to a goon in the FBI when they send an investigator, some 22-year-old pimply girl from NYU, who will now work for the FBI in the gun check department. Go tell that to some child raised on Adderall that you're not a dangerous man, you're just a patriot who wants to protect his family. See what the girl from NYU has to say to you, Joe, because that's the America that Obama has in mind for you. Joe, although it's 2016 and Christmas has just left us, I'm going to send you a book for a patriot, which is Government Zero. Because whether you know it or not, I have an entire number of pages about gun control in that book. I sadly predicted this very day in Government Zero, and I'm not going to read from it today, but I want you to have that. Now let's talk about guns that they're not going to catch, the unlicensed guns that are all over America. And let's talk about the gangs and the housing projects and elsewhere. Why don't they go and seize them? There's gun violence every day. There are shootouts. Ask the police in your neighborhood which neighborhoods they won't go near. And, of course, they'll say they won't go near the neighborhoods where the gangs have automatic weapons, illegally, by the way. So why doesn't the president, who wants to control violence in the country, why doesn't he order the National Guard to go into these housing projects and go door to door, get a law written by Loretta Lynch? She's good at writing laws. Give him some law that he can come up with. And go in, break the doors down, and take the guns away. And then compensate the families for breaking the door down. I think that would go a long way toward controlling violence, wouldn't it? Think about it. If you really want to control gun violence, why don't you start with this, the most violence coming from guns? Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYC.
We're going to do more to help those suffering from mental illness get the help that they need. So... High-profile mass shootings tend to shine a light on those few
mentally unstable people who inflict harm on others. But
so now it's about mental illness. At the same, here's the headline for today. Germans stock up on weapons for self-defense as a result of an indisputable nationwide spike in migrant-driven crime, including rapes of German women and girls on a shocking scale by Muslim immigrants, as well as physical assaults, stabbings, home invasions, robberies, and burglaries throughout Germany as a result of the psychotic Merkel, who is flooding her country with criminals. An influx of more than 1 million asylum seekers from Africa, Asia, and the Middle East is overwhelming Germany. The Germans are rushing to arm themselves. Germany is a country with some of the most stringent gun control laws in Europe, and yet there is a demand for non-lethal self-defense weapons, anything they can get their hands on. Pepper spray, gas pistols, flare guns, electroshock weapons, animal repellents. Because of the immigrant-driven surge in violent crimes, rapes, robberies, assaults in cities and towns throughout Germany. And yet the authorities in Germany, just like in America, are arguing that the German citizenry's sudden interest in self-defense has nothing whatsoever to do with mass migration into the country, despite evidence to the contrary. And so at the same time, we in America need weapons more than ever to arm ourselves, to protect ourselves from the flood of illegal aliens coming from around the globe, not all of whom, but some of whom are very violent, uncivilized, you name it. At the very same time, he's coming up with methods to take away your right to self-defense. Now, let's talk about the new gun control rule on the doctor-patient relationship. Confidentiality will no longer be protected, doctors. So if you're a liberal doctor, get ready for this one. If you deem an individual to be a physical threat or someone capable of violence towards others, you can now report that individual to the FBI. And so that means people will not come to see you for fear that you will report them to the FBI, whether they are violent or not. You can say that I'm violent when I'm not, because you don't like my politics. That's the Soviet Union, liberal doctor.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
For mental illness, get the help that they need. So,
way to go,
high
Doc.
High-profile mass shootings tend to shine a light on those few mentally unstable people who inflict harm on others, but the truth is that nearly 2 in 3 gun deaths are from suicides.
Oh,
So, a lot of our work is to prevent people from hurting themselves.
Oh, that's so
benevolent. That's why we made sure that the Affordable Care Act, also known
Chairman
as
Obama. Thank you.
Finally,
all right, so the con man today did things that most people couldn't imagine. I wrote about it in Government Zero, and I'm not going to read from the book. But let's focus on the new gun control rule about mental illness, because it's forever going to change the doctor-patient relationship. There will be no confidentiality from here forward. This is exactly as it was in the Soviet Union. And if a psychologist says that someone is a physical threat or capable of violence, that could be anybody, to a liberal psychiatrist or therapist, anyone who comes to see them is capable of violence. They're all paranoid. By definition, anyone in the mental health professions is, by them, self-definition, a paranoid individual. They may think that they're balanced, but you know, and I know, many people in those fields, and some of them are wonderful people, I have them in my own family and I love them dearly, are themselves struggling with issues, but they're now going to be the gods and the judges of who's capable of violence, and they will now have to report that individual to the FBI. So that means that people will no longer go to counseling because they fear that the doctor will report them to the FBI, whether they're violent or not. Secondly, the definition of someone who is mentally ill, what does that mean? That's quite broad, quite expansive. Everyone knows what a mentally ill person or a violent person looks like, right? But you do know that there are mentally ill people who don't evidence signs of mental illness. You do know that. We see that in the higher reaches of government on a daily basis. In fact, most people who have a madness for power are mentally ill by my definition. Any person who would have an obsession to rule over others against the will of the others is a mentally ill person. So what is a mentally ill person? If you're anxious, is that mental illness? If you're depressed, is that a mental illness? What if they show no harm to hurt any others? Should they also lose their right to own a firearm because they're anxious or depressed? They will. Because I know how the government works. You give the government an ounce of power, they take a pound of power. You understand that? The bureaucracy snowballs, and the little people who go into government work will then take advantage of any law they have on their hands to crush you, whether it be a zoning situation in your hometown. You ever try to build a fence in your hometown? You ever try to put an addition on your house in your hometown? Did you? Did you see what happens when a little person with a little power comes around to your house and says, you can't put that fence on, you can't go a foot higher, you can't go a foot deeper, you can't put this on your house, you can't put a second floor on without this little person's approval? That's how law works. And that's what will happen with this gun control law. And we'll all lose as a result. So I'm trying to broaden the discussion slightly to show you what might happen. And this is a new world that we're in right now. It's a world that's not unexpected. We expected this to come from the vampire. I told you Count Obamula seemed to have become to me a vampire who drinks the blood of the Constitution one sip at a time. And the reason he had tears today was that he was sated from the pint of blood he drank from the Constitution, drinking an entire amendment. Think about that. Think about that. How good that must have tasted. He practically ran his wrist over his mouth after his speech, because finally his fangs had sank deep enough for a taste of the blood of the Constitution. He had only been sipping at it. Today he took a big drink, because it's in his last year. So we think. So what do we have to say about guns now, huh? All you crazy right-wing nuts with your love of guns and God and Constitution? We should take that Constitution away from you. It was written by old white men. Well, what's called a Constitution? It's not a black thing. It's not an immigrant thing. It was a thing written for slaveholders. It's darn well time to get rid of that old Constitution itself. That's what we need to do, is get rid of that Constitution. It's an old white thing. That's the next thing that we're going to do, is help those suffering from constitutional illness. Those old white men who are still hanging on to that scrap of paper, we're going to help them. Yeah, we're going to help them get over that. So now go back to the sound mic, is what I say to myself from the back of my mind to the front of my mind to you. We're going to play some more of Count Obamula. But before that, I'm sorry, we have the treat that I promised you, which I'll be running every day now, probably until the end of 2016. This is Elena Kagan, Supreme Court Justice, during her confirmation hearings, when the wobbly left-wing fanatic, Senator Leahy, Leaky Leahy, we call him affectionately, another nut from Vermont, when Leaky Leahy marched her out for her confirmation hearing, the number one issue that was on the minds of the putative conservative Republicans was guns and Second Amendment. And so Leahy comes from a gun owner state, Vermont, where so the crackers still use guns to go hunting, and he had to pretend that he cares about that, just as the imposter from Brooklyn, Senator Sanders, does. I love that one. He's as much a Vermonter as, I'm trying to come up with the right analogy. He doesn't just say he's a carpetbagger. Let's say that Bernie Sanders is every time he speaks, he's from Vermont. He represents Vermont. No, he represents Brooklyn, New York, and those from Brooklyn who moved to Vermont and ruined the state and took over Burlington. The hippies, in other words, who fled New York after destroying it with their liberalism, moved to Vermont, destroyed Burlington, and then elected one of their own. So now this idiot represents Vermont. So as the other idiot from Vermont, Leahy, introduced Kagan, you got to hear the charade on established law on the Savage Nation.
Is there any doubt after the court's decision in Heller and McDonald that the Second Amendment to the Constitution secures a fundamental right for an individual to own a firearm, use it for self-defense in their home?
There is no doubt, Senator Leahy. That is binding precedent, entitled to all the respect of binding precedent in any case. So that is settled law.
Settled law. Never forget it, settled law. I'm not just mocking her accent. She sounds like one of my relatives that I ran away from. But it is settled law. Even Kagan knows it's set a lure. But we'll have to see what happens when it's taken to the Supreme Court again. We'll see if Miss Settle Law really believes it's set a law, or she was just saying it was set a law in order to be ushered into the Supreme Court, where in my day, the most, two Carvel stands in Queens. Now she's on the Supreme Court. That's the new world we live in. That's the new world. Like in communist China, they took peasants from the countryside and made them doctors. It wasn't just Doctors Without Borders. The communists wanted to prove that all doctors were elitists in China, in Mao's China. And so they said, you're really not a doctor. You faked the system. It was for the elites. So we're going to take this little girl from the countryside, this illiterate peasant girl, and she is now going to be the doctor. And you, Mr. Surgeon in communist China, we're throwing you down into the laundry to punish you because you are a bourgeois anti-communist. You're now going to clean, you're going to clean sheets in the laundry of this hospital, which is exactly what happened in communist China. And today a similar analogy can be made as to who we put on Supreme Courts, who has positions of power in America. Very much an analogy to what went on in my mind to communist China. I know it's not as overt. I know it's not a direct parallel. But you understand that there's a little bit of an analogy here that some people can pick up on. That's called a cultural revolution, which I've talked about to a great extent on this program and described in Government Zero, and which, by the way, I'm expanding on right now. It's a topic I'm expanding on because it's very important to me. What's happened to America, and this is a sidetrack from the gun thing, what we're living through right now is part of the disease of the cultural revolution started before Barry was born. I think Barry was born when? Does anyone know when he was born? I don't know how old he is. What year? 68? 67? When was Barry born? Barry was born during the... 61. So Barry was born around the same time that the Cultural Revolution began in America. A cultural revolution begun by Allen Ginsberg, Timothy Leary, and I would say Bella Abzug. A group that you could never find in hell itself to do more damage to a nation. And they were all such silk-smooth salesmen. One pushed rampant sex with animals. The other one pushed rampant drug use, mainly LSD. And the other one, God knows what he pushed. No, there was a lawyer involved. So I'm sorry, there was a lawyer in the triumvirate that I'm thinking of. It would be four. There was a lawyer. And the lawyer was a once respectable lawyer who went on the freedom buses to the South with the hippies and had so much sex with the hippie girls that he became a crazy left-wing fanatic. I forget his name. I don't know who he is. I don't know what his name is. I forget. But he was one of the people who just started the Cultural Revolution and almost and led to where we are today is what I'm saying. I don't remember the lawyer's name. I'm not thinking of Alan Dershowitz. In my opinion, Alan Dershowitz is worse than him. But that's separate. This lawyer who went on the freedom rides, as I say, became a convert to communism, liberalism, anything for the free stuff he was getting on the bus. Patchouli oil is very addictive. And it's a very powerful, has a powerful aroma, and apparently it went to his brain and overpowered his thinking. And as a result of Timothy Leary pushing drugs, this lawyer pushing whatever he pushed, let's say, diminution of the law and the Constitution, Bella Abzug pushing so-called women's rights, and Allen Ginsberg pushing sex with animals and children, we now have what we are faced with, a cultural revolution. It's not in its infancy anymore. We are in its... Where are we with this cultural revolution? That is the question. My friends, that is the question. How far have we come in this cultural revolution? And how far will we go on this road of Obama, or this road that Obama has taken us on? He didn't start it, but he was put in by the radical left to push it as far as he could. To push it as far as he could along the lines of Mao Tse-tung's China. And that is the model. I told you, I'm reading two gigantic biographies. Ryan, could you bring them to me now? They're over on that table. They're very important. They're not my books. They're not pushing my books. I want you to hear about two books to show you how smart I am. The big fat books over there by the women on Mao's China, one with the hat. And they're both by brilliant Chinese women. They're so important. I don't expect you to go out and buy them. They're both out of print. But they were my bedtime reading over the holidays. One is called The Unknown Story Mao by Yung Chang, author of Wild Swans. And the other is Wild Swans, Three Daughters of China by Yung Chang. She actually lived through China's a cultural revolution. She grew up in China's communist elite, and she was living in a world of privilege, and she worked in the Red Guards, and then she turned against the tyranny of Mao. And she tells the story of the Cultural Revolution, in which her own parents were denounced, tormented, and sent to labor camps far from the luxuries of the homes that they had known. A father who stood up to Mao Zedong, and remember, he was a part of the communist hierarchy, but he eventually had enough with this crazy madman, Mao Zedong. His father stood up to Mao and was driven insane and hounded to death. She was exiled to the edge of the Himalayas as a teenager, and she worked as a peasant and a barefoot doctor. I'm reading this to you because you think it can't happen here. I'm reading this to you because you think that we're immune, because we're protected by a constitution. But I think you should understand that there is a man in the White House who shreds the Constitution one page at a time. In every way he can, him and his psychotic band of gangsters do everything they can to undermine every amendment to the Constitution. And as I've evidenced to you today, Loretta Lynch, who we had by his side today, our Attorney General, the very same Loretta Lynch who threatened to take away and imprison those of us who engaged in any speech that she felt was, quote, edging towards violence. She didn't say violent speech. She didn't say violent speech. She said any speech which edges towards violence would be prosecuted to the full extent of the law, because she wanted to protect the dear Muslims in America from the evil non-Muslims in America. My God, how many prayer rugs there must be in that White House. How many secret prayer rooms there must be somewhere in that White House is what some people are saying here and there. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO.
And yes, it will be hard. And it won't happen overnight. It won't happen during this Congress. It won't happen during my presidency. But a lot of things don't happen overnight. The woman's right to vote didn't happen overnight. The liberation of African Americans didn't happen overnight. The LGBT rights, that was decades worth of work. So just because it's hard, that's no excuse not to try.
That's right. Right on. Right on, all the power to the sheeple. Look at Chairman Mao's long march. What a role model he was. Imagine marching across a land as large as China. That wasn't easy. That was hard. He did it. Took him a long time, but he did it. Didn't happen overnight, but he did it. And look at the great results of the Cultural Revolution. And we can have the same thing here. We can have the same thing here. You know, I noticed he's going now into the Michelle Whisper game. She was the original whisperer. You've heard of horse whisperers, of course, and dog whisperers. I would call Michelle Obama was the original liberal whisperer, because as she gave speeches, she would go down into the whisper. He's picked it up. It's from 2 weeks in Hawaii with her, I think. Normally, he doesn't go into the whisper. He looked crazy and deranged to me. I watched the speech. I said, a madman. The eyes. They're demonic. I emailed people. I said, are you watching the demonic eyes? I saw the eyes of a madman. Am I wrong in this? They change when he does these things. You notice when he's slurping on a Slurpee in Hawaii and relaxed, or at Martha's Vineyard with the millionaires and billionaires that he hates, his eyes don't look as demonic. When he's walking around with the girls slurping on a cone, he looks like a normal guy. And yet when he gets and he digs down into the blood of the Constitution, his eyes change. And there's this different look comes over him. Anyway, it's one man's observations. Be here or be nowhere. One more huge hour. Sorry you have to leave me. I know how bad it is. I know how hard it is.
Thank you.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Contrary to the claims of what some gun rights proponents have suggested, this hasn't been the first step in some slippery slope to mass confiscation. Contrary to claims of some presidential candidates apparently before this meeting, this is not a plot to take away everybody's guns.
Okay. You so the sociopath tells us it's not a plot. Not at all. The same sociopath told us that we all have a right to the First Amendment. But, well, if your speech edges towards violence about Muslims, why then Loretta Lynch will bring the full weight of the federal law against you. Same with Count Obamula, a man who drinks the blood of the Constitution one sip at a time. Now, if he is what he is doing makes sense, then why doesn't he go through Congress? In other words, he's not allowed to make law. He cannot make law. Do you understand that that's the nature of our governmental system or not? He's abusing the executive order power. Article 1, Article 2 of the U.S. Constitution, the model for which our government exists, gives all legislative powers in Congress and consigns the power of legislative execution to the president. A civics lesson that Barry from Honolulu ignored while he was high at Columbia. The executive branch has made a habit of bypassing the legislative process. Why? Because he's a narcissistic maniac. He acts beyond his delineated authority. He promotes his big government agenda. He overrides and violates Congress's constitutional oversight of checks and balances. There's a legislative branch, an executive branch. You know that. He's not a leader. Excuse me, pardon me. I mean, a man has to sneeze after 2.5 hours of radio. That's not so bad. That's not too much to ask of you, is it? Am I allowed to sneeze here and again? After all, I took a new supplement today. I took apple cider vinegar. And all it did was make me... No, I just ate a date. That's why I sneezed. I must be allergic to the pollen in the date or something. So we're talking about very serious stuff. And many of you are afraid it is a slippery slope. Because we know this man is a maniac, a power maniac. Let's say a power mad maniac. Let's put it to you that way. Now, I began the show with a story about how guns saved 20,000 Jews from extermination by the Nazis in World War II. And I gave you an example of the Bielski brothers, which became the basis of a movie called Defiance with Daniel Craig. And as I studied the book by the Bielskis, they were simple farmers in the Ukraine. Got along with their neighbors, Christian neighbors. They were all friendly for hundreds of years. The families knew each other. No one killed each other. And then along came Nazi Germany. And the Jews were picked on, and their parents and two brothers were killed in the ghetto. And they fled into the forest, these three brothers, and established a partisan group. Now, I read their book. The man, by the way, not only survived the war, but he helped save 20,000 Jews from extermination by the Nazis. The point of the story is that the first thing he wanted to get his hands on as he fled into the forest were guns. Guns! Guns, 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 guns. Guns save lives. Guns save lives, which is why people want them. See, if what Obama was doing was so widely accepted, it wouldn't be controversial at all. Why do you think so many of us oppose what he's doing? Because we are the legal gun owners, and we oppose what he's doing. You don't hear an outcry from the gangs, do you? Have you seen any riots outside Baltimore or Ferguson from the gangbangers who were anti-police? Have you seen them rioting about this? They ain't said nothing. They ain't said anything about gun control because they're not going to be affected by it. You think they're going to go to a psychiatrist? You think so? You think psychiatrists are going to report a gang as a danger to our society? Take the gun away? No. See, it's we, the middle class, who are in the sights of this crazed administration, which is why he targets all of his madness towards the middle class. We are his enemy. We are the enemy of the Democrat Party itself. We in the white middle class in particular, I must say, that is a member of the white middle class, we are the target of this Democrat, socialist, Islamist juggernaut. Shall I say it any more clearly than I just did? Because it ties right into the 2016 election. I'll say it again in case you missed it. If you were to do, as I do for a living, analyze the president's actions and the actions of his minions, you'll see that virtually everything this man does is aimed at the white middle class. When I say aimed at, I mean taking away from us to give to others. Whether it's taking away money to fund illegal aliens or taking away money to fund one program or another that is not going to benefit us in any way. It's always aimed at us. And it's aimed at us with executive actions or skirting a law or creating law. And it's aimed at the white middle class. In essence, you could say that this is a racial thing that's going on. And you wouldn't be wrong. But many of you are afraid to say it because you're afraid to be called you-know-what. You've been so brainwashed that you can't even see what's happening to you. But he makes it very clear who his target is. He didn't get up today and say that the gun violence in America has reached a critical mass, and today I'm using an executive action to order that the governors of the states of Maryland and Missouri use the National Guard to go into housing projects where there is a proliferation of gun violence and go door to door and take away any illegal guns and arrest anyone who has them. We're going to give every one of these housing projects 24 hours to turn their guns in. If they don't, the doors will be broken down. We will seize the guns and we'll arrest the people in that house. How would you like that? Would you think there'd be an outcry today? You wouldn't hear an outcry today, would you? Well, you would from me. I would say you're violating the Constitution of those people in the housing projects. And most of them don't have guns. They're not violent. So I'd be one of those people to stand up for them. But you don't know that. But that's not what he did today. He said something else. It was a very minor group of things he suggested. Taken separately and even together, it doesn't seem like very much. It doesn't seem like very much. And so why should we complain? Why is it such a big issue? Why is it such a damn big issue? If it's not really going to affect me or you. Because if you look at it, it is a very big darn issue. Very big. Really big. He cooked this one up in Hawaii. He and the group were sitting there in that rental house in Kailua, cooking it up to come back to suck the next quart of blood out of the Constitution, like the vampires that they are. And the biggest thing I can tell you is that the biggest and most dangerous part of this is the health issue, the mental health issue, because it opens the door to a Soviet Union-style fascistic government overreach in ways you could never imagine. But I see things way before everybody else does. That's what I'm hired to do. I'm not boasting. I'm not telling you I'm smarter than you. But you pay me to put things together that you may or may not have done so before I did. And then you say, yeah, like a light bulb. Okay, right, he's right about that. It doesn't mean I'm smarter than you, although I probably have the ability to see things pretty clearly. It means I have ability to express it in a way you wish you could express it. As the French writer Mallarmé, who I learned in college, wrote, Donnez plus clair le mot de la tribu. I hardly remember my French. I used to be very fluent. And I studied it for 7 years. But it was so beautifully written. The French were brilliant in their writings. To donner plus clair le mot de la tribu, to make more clear the words of the tribe, is how he described what a poet was. Mallarmé said the work of the poet is to make more clear the words of the tribe. And that's what we in talk radio are supposed to do. In essence, we're poets. We're the poets of the airwaves. Did you know that? I don't think you know that, but anyway, that's a side note. We're actually poets, most of us, but we should be anyway. And those of us who are poetic are loved for it and beloved for it. So the thing is that I'm trying to make more clear the words of my tribe. And my tribe says no, no go on this gun control stuff. Because it doesn't do anything to stop the violence. Because the bad guys and the crazy guys are going to get the guns anyway. All it's going to do is give government more power over the legal and law-abiding gun owner. The same way that Loretta Lynch tried to steal our right to free speech with her edges towards violence statement, that's what he did today. This is all they can think about. Now, I'm sure many of you don't see it as clearly as I do, and you're just diehard leftists who are glad that he did something on guns, and you can rest easier tonight. All you Woody Allens in Manhattan are probably breathing easier tonight, thinking that the white man Nazi gun owner, who you fear every night as you lock your apartment door, the Nazi that doesn't even exist in America, except in your own mind, is going to no longer be able to come and break your door down and kill you. And I suspect we have some of them hanging on the lines right now on the Savage Nation. If you care to join them, the phone number is 855-400-7282. Let's take a couple of those callers now. WABC, Bernie, I guess you're one of those who like the law.
Hi there, Mr. Savage. I agree with, like, 90% of what you say, and also your evaluation of the president's psyche, but... And I'm an NRA member and a Republican, and I own guns. But I do believe part of the problem is people with mental illness, and as imperfect as it is, and although the president's doing an end-around, which I don't agree with, I still think you got to address the problem. I don't know what else you can do.
Well, first of all, I don't know that you're a gun owner and a Republican and this and that, or an NRA member. That's irrelevant whether you are or you aren't. All that matters is that he's violating the law. We're a nation of laws. He's violating the law. He can't make law. He's making up law, so it's null and void. That's the whole point of the show. The man is violating the law with his executive order, and that's the end of the story. If this is so important and this is such a smart solution, then let Congress pass the law.
Right, but is the point of the show the law, or is it the solution to the problem of people with mental illness having a gun?
Well, okay, please define mental illness for us.
I'm mental illness. A person who maybe is bipolar, has a gun, gets off his...
Well, hold it. So anyone who is bipolar is, by your definition, mentally ill and should be denied the access to a gun.
If he goes off his meds, maybe.
Wait a minute. Okay, that's interesting. So now you've already become a psychiatrist, so a bipolar individual is automatically violent?
Mr. Savage, what do you do with the people who do have mental illness?
Well, now you're changing the subject. You define mental illness as a bipolar person. I would say that 90% of Congress would meet that definition. And how many of our police who have guns are diagnosed as bipolar and are on medication? Should they also be disarmed?
All I know is that many of the shootings that happened... A lot of them have been died people with mental illness.
Who was more mentally ill, him or his mother? Oh. You remember that kid, Adam, who shot those kids up in Newton, Massachusetts? Remember that one?
Yep.
It was Adam Lanza. Now, who bought him the guns? The mother did. But it was Adam who was the sicko, not the mother. The mother bought him the guns, though. And she wouldn't have been found under the mental illness laws that you're mentioning, because she wasn't declared mentally unstable. It was the son, Adam, who couldn't have a gun, but she bought one for him. So how does that work out?
I don't know, but you have to address the problem some way, shape.
Well, I am addressing the problem. The problem is not solved by creating more problems. You're now going to drag in your net every individual suffering PTSD who's in a psychiatrist under a therapist's care will now go into an FBI database and be blocked from buying a gun. That could include police. It could include former American war heroes. I don't think you'd want that, do you?
No, absolutely not.
All right. Well, thanks for the call. We'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America. So there is a genocide going on against Christians, against Yazidis, against Assyrians, a genocide of World War II proportions. We have industrial-scale rape going on against innocent girls in the Middle East. And this character in the White House has the nerve to turn America into the battleground that he chooses to play in. If this is not an example of an abuse of power, I'd like to know what is. And also, a man who has lost his ability to discern right from wrong, if he ever had it to begin with, which I doubt very much. Let's take some calls. Michael on WMAL in the great city of Washington, D.C. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael. I'm a psychologist by education and training, and I can tell you I know what you're pointing to, and you're spot on. This is really a subterfuge. It's a sleight of hand. It has nothing to do with guns. What it has to do with is transforming the state, which is what his said purpose was when he took over. He wants to make a therapeutic state so that he can control dissidents. Because that's what psychiatry is most times used for, because it works like this. Psychiatric power and practically all societies expands on the grounds of public safety. You see public safety in guns, which is, in the view of the leaders of the USSR, the best way to maintain an orderly society, by being able to save the psychiatrically impaired. Therefore, they need to be controlled, and you send them to the psychologist. Now, that means that what you're...
Hold on, let me interject. Now, this is a very important point, and one that I'm very familiar with. The great Soviet writer, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, wrote about this. He was declared mentally unstable because he criticized the state, and he was sent to a labor camp as a result of that. In the Stalin era, and after, by the way, in the Soviet Union, people who were dissidents, anyone who disagreed with the Obamas of Russia, were called, they were sent to a state, an Obamacare facility. In the Obamacare facility of the Soviet Union, there were state-owned doctors. The state-owned doctors rubber-stamped the fact that they were mentally unstable because they criticized the perfect state of the Soviet Union. It was considered to be perfect by the leaders. And anyone who said otherwise was declared nuts, and they were sent to mental hospitals called the Gulag Archipelago. This is also a possibility in time, if this is not curtailed in the beginning. People don't understand what could happen when you give a state this much power, particularly when you put it in the hands of the medical profession with the state. When you have the government medical complex in such a cozy relationship, the end is always bad.
So it's not so much that people won't go to their psychologist because they're afraid that their guns won't be taken away from them if they say they have it. It's the other side of the coin. It's that they will be forced to go to psychologists because they're dissenters. That's what this is all about. It's to get absolute control, tyranny over the American people, and this is just this is a camel's nose under the tent.
All right. That's how I see it. Many of us see it that way. Sending you a free copy of the book that warned America, Government Zero. Back in a minute, right here for your calls on the Savage Nation. Is clear in my mind that this administration has edged towards violence in their skirting the laws and making up law. And he's edging towards violence every day, as in my previous book, Stop the Coming Civil War. This man is provoking civil war in this country. You know, I haven't raised the one main question of the day. Someone asked me this early in the morning. A very intelligent man said to me, why is he doing this now? He doesn't have to do this now. He doesn't have to do this now. The country's in turmoil. The country is boiling over with rage. The country is boiling over with rage. There are so many bad things going on. Flooding America with illegal aliens. Bringing in Syrians against the will of the American people. Let's go down the list. The cost of living, the stock market, you name it. Why does he have to do this now, the man said to me. Why is he doing it now? He doesn't have to do it now. We're all missing the forest for the trees. This man is provoking insurrection in America. I hinted at this in Stop the Coming Civil War. This man wants insurrection. He wants violence to break out. He's dying for the white man to finally explode, to be very, very blunt. Who is the dominant gun owner in America? Who is the number one gun owner? Have you broken that down demographically? And I say the legal gun owner. No one's asked that question, have they? No one's made this a racial issue, have they? I'll make it a racial issue. Who is the number one gun owner, legal gun owner in America? I have to say the word legal over and over again. White males. So who is this law aimed at? White males. Why is it aimed at white males? I'll let you figure that out. So if you analyze everything this man does to antagonize the white, heterosexual, Christian middle class, you'll see what he's doing. You'll see exactly what he's doing, and then you have to ask yourself, why? What does he gain by doing this? Then you'll have to ask yourself, what does he gain by doing this? Then you have to ask yourself, what is the end game in doing this? What do they want? What does Al Sharpton want? What is Al Sharpton, Loretta Lynch, and this cabal of individuals, what do they really want to happen here? You have to ask yourself, is it really about stopping violence and protecting children? We're all for that. Nobody wants to see maniacs go into schools and shoot them dead. Nobody. There are many things that can be done to stop that. One of them would be putting an armed guard in every school. That'd be a very smart thing to do. Another thing would be arming teachers if they want to be armed. If they're not afraid to carry a weapon, let them have one. If they're trained and they're certified, they can carry a gun, let them carry a gun into a school. Many things that can be done that are done in a sane society of gun owners, by the way, to protect themselves and protect their children. Many, many things can be done other than restricting access to weapons to law-abiding citizens. And the most worrisome part of this, as I've said today, is the gaining of more power through the psychiatric profession, or shall I say the therapeutic profession. It's going to really, you therapists, you may be liberal in your orientation, and many of you listen to me because you like my ability to present the other side, and you analyze whether you agree with me or not. And I understand, because I can think and I express ideas, which is very unusual in the media to begin with. That's why we call the show the talk radio for the thinking person. You notice that's a new motto for 2016? Talk radio for the thinking person. So many of you don't agree with me, but you think, which is an unusual thing to begin with in America today. And you like to think by bouncing your ideas off an opponent who can think and who has a different point of view. So that's who I am. I'm the different point of view. I'm the right-wing newspaper for you left-wingers. Let's put it to you that way. The intelligent conservative newspaper. However you want to put it, doesn't matter. So I ask you to think about this. How do you think this is going to impact the healing professions? You have to ask yourself that, and there's a simple answer. It will destroy the relationship between the therapeutic professions and individuals who are gun owners or want to be remain gun owners, who will never go back to a therapist. They will never express their anxiety. They will never express their depression. They will never express their urges. Never. Because they're afraid they'll wind up on the FBI watch list that Obama is creating, and they will have their guns seized by this maniac government. That's what's going to happen. Now, aside from the fact that what he's proposing is stupid, plain old stupid, as Donald Trump would put it. You know, some things are well said that way. What Obama's proposing is illegal and stupid. In plain English, I can summarize 2 hours and 40 minutes of live radio. What Obama is proposing is illegal and stupid, to make it very simple. But if you want to dance on the head of a pin with me, go ahead, my friend. Let's dance. Let's dance. Larry on WMAC in Georgia. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage. I'm sure you're familiar with the HIPAA laws, correct?
What's the point?
Okay, the point is that Obama is, by requesting that FBI collect medical information on mental patients, he's in violation of the HIPAA laws, because medical profession cannot pass that information along to law enforcement without a warrant or a subpoena. And he's ordering them to violate the law.
That's correct. But when has that ever stopped him?
It hasn't stopped him in the past, but it's the point that the public's got to become familiar with the fact that he's willing to bypass the law to get what he wants.
Yes, this is nothing new. He is going to use the FBI and the therapeutic professions to violate patient confidentiality, but Obamacare has already violated patient confidentiality, as you well know. There's a massive data breach on patient confidentiality as a result of Obamacare. I think we all know that. You ask any doctor about that, and you will see that that is true. But this law that he wants to pass, these executive laws, so to speak, which go against the Constitution, includes a gun ban for some Social Security beneficiaries as well. Are you aware of that, Larry?
I am, and that's what worries me. You know, when is Congress going to take action to stop this?
Did you hear my guest in the first hour, Congressman Culberson, who controls the purse strings of the Justice Department?
No, I did not.
Oh, well, he actually controls the purse strings. He's a Republican from Texas. He's a friend of mine, because I have no representation in California. All I have are these harridans called Boxer and Feinstein. I have no representation in California. It's all left-wing fanatics. I had to go to Texas to find a congressman. Congressman Culberson was appointed to the head of the Finance Committee. He controls the purse strings for all of the federal government. A request for funds goes through him, and he said he's cutting them off. He sent Loretta Lynch a note today that he's cutting off her funds if she wants to enact any of this. I'm going to replay that tomorrow. I don't think you want to miss that, but thanks for the call. WLYV Radio. Alex, go ahead, please. What's your point?
Dr. Savage, thank you. I thought your comment about what's looking at the president's eyes and seeing this darkness, this evil that's going on. And my background's in psychiatric social work. And so I've been brought up in the psychiatric fields, but I have seen exactly the thing that you're talking about.
Does it look to me like a demonic possession?
It actually is, Dr. Savage. I mean, it's a lot of that.
I wasn't saying it just to be cute and to be antagonistic. When this man is slurping on a cone in Hawaii, or in Martha's Vineyard with the millionaires and billionaires, and he's relaxed, he looks like a normal human. Whenever he comes out like a vampire and attacks the middle class, as he did today, especially the white, middle-class, heterosexual Christian, as he did today, he looks demonic.
It's in fact what's behind the look in that eyes. I've heard the voices from people, and it's not like psychotic break voices. It's demonic voices that to the point that you can hardly form words when you hear it. It's bad.
But did you see how he rambled on and quoted him? He mentioned himself 71 times in a policy speech aimed at controlling violence through guns. It was all about him. But did you see how he rambled on and on and on? Did you see him? Did you actually watch the speech?
No, I didn't. I have a restaurant and I'm constantly making stuff and it's
I watched it and I had to turn it off because it was like watching The Shining. It was like watching a movie about demonic possession. The man changes form as he gives these speeches. He relishes it so much he can almost not control himself, and his eyes become, as we are saying, demonic. They're the eyes of a possessed individual. So, I mean, I made my point over and over again. I don't have to repeat it over and over again. What kind of food do you serve in the restaurant? That, now you got my attention.
Ravioli's got the best veal, homemade gelato ice creams. It's called
the Italian. You're an Italian restaurant owner? Is it an Italian restaurant?
Yeah, it's all old fashioned. It's, you know, 15 table, but I make.
Where are you? What state? You're in what state?
It's in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
I think when I retire, I'll come down there for a dinner. When I say Italian food, I'm a red sauce guy. I'm not into fancy meals. I could do without fancy. I grew up in New York where spaghetti was about, you know, $2 a plate with meatballs and this marinara sauce that you could put your arm in. It was so thick.
Frank Sinatra, Tony Bennett, we got a little stage. Hey,
you entertain Frank Sinatra and Tony Bennett?
Voices out there that are trying to wake the public up.
Well, Alex, hold it. You lost me here. Did you say that Sinatra and Bennett ate there?
And they're all beginning.
Look, I'm not going to hang up. Alex, you got to hear me. I'm interested. Did you say that those guys ate in your restaurant?
Which guys?
The Sinatra and Bennett?
Sinatra's pilot flew him around, and I met Tony Bennett when he was here, but they didn't come to the restaurant. Sinatra's pilot was going to bring him here. His name was Tony Takis, but he went to Chicago, and they don't like to come to Fort Wayne. But he did sign a picture before he died.
It's funny, you know, you're saying you're in Fort Wayne, Indiana, right?
Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Do you remember the movie Goodfellas? Remember the movie Goodfellas? When one of the scenes takes place in a little grocery in a place like that, isn't that right?
To a great time. I mean,
okay, we're not communicating very well. I don't think he wants to hear me. This reminds me of my mother saying, when people get older, it's not that their hearing goes bad. She said they hear what they want to hear. I'm thinking of Scorsese's mother playing the mother in that deli scene in the back where they really control the entire industry of crime in America. These little guys with the aprons on. All right, my friend, I won't ask for your address to send you a book because it's a secret that I know you want to keep. That was the goal. Ooh, I got such a wonderful audience. And the man was in psychiatric. He's probably around a lot of people who are like that. And he knows what demonic possession looks like when you got the person on the rack with the vice around their head. He sees the eyes, the change, you know, if you watch too many movies. I got such wonderful callers, I got to tell you. I haven't taken one from my home city of San Francisco. So let's go to KSFO. I love KSFO. All you infidels in San Francisco and Oakland and San Jose and Marin County, all of you poor people without any political representation. I'm so glad to be here for you every day. We don't have a congresswoman. We don't have a congressman. We have zero representation in the most demonically one-party fascistic state in the United States of America. It's ruled with an iron high heel. So let's go to KSFO. Tom, from KSFO, what's on your mind, Tom?
Yeah, Obama wants to drive gun retailers out of business with this, Michael.
Well, how would this drive gun retailers out of business? Because in San Francisco, they drove them out last year. The last one was driven out, wasn't he, by the nuts here?
Yeah. Well, if they now have to have federal licenses to sell guns, he's going to tie them up in a red tape. They can't get a license. They can't sell guns. Same thing they did with the IRS and the conservatives.
Okay, good point. Now, in the third hour, we have stations like KSFO in San Francisco, KLIF in Dallas, FNC in Raleigh, DRC in Hartford, FTL in West Palm Beach, KBET in Las Vegas, BOB in Jacksonville, GDJ Albany, New York, FTW Mobile, Alabama, Lexington, Kentucky, VLK, VNN in Huntsville. We have all of you, and we never hear from you. And we're going to try and make the third hour more friendly to all of these wonderful, wonderful stations around America. Back in a moment on The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2600. I'll direct you to a statement that one picture is worth a thousand words. Go to the Drudge Report and take a look at the picture that the Drudge Report caught of the president crying during his gun grab speech today. And tell me if that's the face of a sane individual. Just look at it at your leisure. Drudge Report. Tears for fears. He broke into tears. And I said that he broke into tears today, not because he was concerned so much with his emotions about the victims, I think, but because, like Dracula, I call him Count Obamula, a vampire who drinks the blood of the Constitution one sip at a time. I admit that that's quite Victorian in its overreach. But then again, I'm a Victorian kind of guy in some ways. But I don't think he was weeping out of sadness. I think he was weeping for joy that finally he could sink his fangs into the heart of the white heterosexual middle-class Christian community itself. Because, again, I will make this the issue that I think it has to be. Who do you think this set of laws is aimed at? Everything in this country is broken down by racial metrics. This is how politics runs in America. They know the breakdown. Everything that they say or do, before they say or do it, they know, like through focus groups, analysis, which group is going to respond positively, which group or groups will respond the other way. And so they know that the number one group that will respond negatively to this is the number one group they're aiming it at, which is the white male that I mentioned. Notice there was no outcry from any other community. Why was there no outcry from any other community? I didn't see the gangs of Baltimore that burnt the city half to the ground come out and say, oh no, we're not going to go for this, because they have illegal guns. All the gangs that chase the police down the streets, they're not going to be affected by this. They don't go to psychiatrists. They're not going to be reported to the FBI. They're not worried about licensed gun dealers. They just go buy them wherever they want to. So it's not aimed at them or the rabble in the streets of Ferguson. I didn't hear them rioting today. Did you hear Black Lives Matter screaming today about this law? How come? How come? I'll leave you with that thought. Why did Black Lives Matter not scream and yell and threaten everybody with Obama's laws today, or his attempt to go around the law, really? Why? Why is the outcry only amongst white males? I'll let you figure that out, and once you figure it out, you'll come to understand what we are going through, and that this is just the beginning of a long, rough year, a really rough year. So get your life vests on, strap yourself in for quite a ride, because if you think that the last 7 years have been pretty rough because of this man's attempts at an actual overt power grabs, you ain't seen nothing yet, as they say. Because the last year is going to be the roughest part of the ride yet. And I don't want any of you to be thrown out of the raft into the raging white waters. Get it? This is the Savage Nation. Thank you for listening. With God's will and your listenership, I shall return tomorrow right on the same station.